It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Love that.
That's freaking beautiful.
That's so good.
Let's go, dude. First podcast with no shirt and the first podcast in this setting right here with the Zenden.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Stoked to have you. Garrett Millis, sir. You're going to have that the entire episode. You got to speak like that.
Okay.
All right, dude. So where do you want to start, man? Let's just jump right into it. What's a mindset that has been serving you well in life lately?
Good question. I think a good mindset that I've really adapted to as of recently has definitely been, do not fear what is in front of you and embrace it. I think as of recently, especially this year, my goals and like my intentions are very much to go after the things that scare me the most, because I know that's where growth happens. So whether it's an audition or it's doing a workout that maybe seems impossible, or going to a different country or city that, you know, I wouldn't have seen myself going to, and just doing it, and kind of accepting that into my life. And I don't know, I just feel like you come out a better person when you do those kind of things, when you go after what actually truly does scare you, and you don't get complacent and comfortable, which I feel like a lot of the time before that mindset, I was very comfortable, you know, like even with travel. Like Kenna was actually the first person to kind of get me out of my comfort zone when it came to travel. Yeah. So that was huge.
Like, how so? She was wanting to travel and you were just like kind of a homebody, like,
yeah, routine. Like, you know, Sarasota, being born and raised here, like I loved it here, and I love it, and I still do. And that's kind of like majority, I guess. I mean, I've been to other states and things like that, but never had been out of the country yet, other than like maybe an island in the Caribbean. But yeah, I just didn't really feel like I wanted to leave because I felt comfortable here. I didn't feel like I needed to go anywhere. But you know, me and her, we sold all our shit and went to Europe for 2 months for our honeymoon. And that,
and you had no plan on coming back, or like, how was that? Because I thought it was a one-way like a one-way ticket. You were just like,
yeah, we're like out of here. Europe lifestyle. We're not coming back to the U.S. You know. Full on, you know, sending it. But no, I mean, that was a very huge eye-opening experience for me, just because it allowed me to appreciate life more, because there's so much more out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't really know that until we took that, you know, obviously big step to just sell our stuff, put it in storage, go over to Europe, travel by the train, and like you run into a lot of different conflicts that you wouldn't run over here in terms of travel. So it gets you out of that comfort zone, and it allows you to grow as a person, and you know, appreciate the cultures that are out there. And I really enjoyed that. So it's been fun.
Heck yeah, bro. I mean, that's awesome that Kenna's gotten you out of your bubble and then like helped you approach something that would be a little bit uncomfortable, and in a sense, like you said, like at the beginning, stepping into something that would be a little bit fearful or whatever, like, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
I mean, when it comes to traveling too, let's talk about that. What's something that like traveling has changed your mind on? Because I mean, for me, I do think traveling is one of the best ways to grow and see that there's different ways to live than when you were a kid and you grew up in the same town and all that.
Did
traveling like change your mind on life or your approach on life? I mean,
absolutely. A lot, actually. I feel like travel has been the biggest shift for me on how and the way I look at life now. Appreciating things a little bit more, because obviously the U.S. has its, the United States is the greatest place to be. America's is amazing. And but when you go over there, you appreciate smaller things and details, such as like the architecture and things like that, and buildings and you know, things that you wouldn't really think about when I guess you're over here. At least I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and now when I think about like our future home, I tie into like the places that I saw out there and would love to like kind of like have that approach on how we build and how we want our house to look and you know, things like that. And it's really allowed me to like think outside of just here. And you know, like I said, it's also allowed me to just kind of not be so worried about such small things when I'm over here. Cause over there, it's like you're in a whole different new world that you don't know anything about, whether it's the language barrier or how to even get on a train out there. You know, it's completely different. But you find it out. You find out. You go through the motions, and it's like anything in life. You don't know at first, but you go through the failure of figuring it out, and eventually you do.
Yeah.
And you learn from that. And then the next time, the experience is more smooth, it's better, and you kind of adapt, and you move forward, and then you go on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's been a huge part of how it's impacted me and my life of going about things. So.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, like with kids, I don't travel nearly as much as like I used to or had the ability to before, but I'm just thinking when you're talking like, part of what traveling does is it gets you out of that routine and you start seeing new people, new faces, new places, new interactions, new ways to live life.
Yeah.
And that's a really great reminder. Like there's not one way to live life.
Yeah.
Like I think about it even in my own house, my wife Gigi and I, we have two such different ways to live in some sense. Like, and then there's perspectives even outside of our house and in our community here and in the state of Florida, in the country and in the world. It's like, dude, there's so many ways to live life. Stay open to changing your mind. Stay open to adapting and maybe taking on a different perspective. Like that's what traveling has done for me. And also I think about it, if I don't have the ability to travel as much, a really cool way to get a similar effect is like, have you ever heard of the idea of like having like daily detours?
Yeah.
Where instead of you opening the door with your right hand, you do it with your left.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of brushing your teeth with your right hand, you do it with your left.
Yeah.
Instead of taking the same route home from work, you go a little bit different route.
Right.
And it actually takes you longer.
Yeah.
So it's inconvenient and it's inefficient, but that right there gets you to kind of break out of this like routine and kind of like autopilot way of living.
Absolutely.
Like Josh has done that in the past, which I love, kind of like taking a scenic route home. And doing a different route. And it just, I think that stuff slows time down.
It does.
It really does.
Well, that's what they say. The reason that life feels like it's faster as we get older is because we're experiencing things less for the first time than we were as kids.
Ooh.
So me and Kenna talk about this all the time. When you were a kid, going to that theme park, hanging out with a friend, having a sleepover, all of that was your first time.
Wow.
So it kind of slows down life because you're embracing and getting to enjoy, you know, great things that life has to offer. And I feel like as we get older, like you said, we get comfortable and we do the same thing over and over. And it makes life kind of go by super fast because every day is like the same thing over and over. And it's funny you say that because I truly do believe that as well. I feel like when you add a certain different aspect into your daily routine, it does slow your life down a little bit and you can appreciate it for the first time again.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's another factor of this year is trying to like, yeah, just go a different route, like stop doing the same thing over and over because you just kind of get caught up in it.
Okay, so it's really important to have that kind of like detour from our routines, but also someone like yourself doesn't get to where you're at physique wise or business wise, career wise, you know, with how you take care of yourself, your mindset, your body.
Absolutely.
You don't get to where you are without like a good solid routine.
Yeah.
Or like at least some things that are serving you from an action habit standpoint. So
yeah.
What are some like actions and habits that have really been making your life better lately?
Absolutely. I mean, mental health is first, you know. I think if you don't have that, it makes life harder. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. You know, you got to have good mental health. So meditation, I always talk about it. It's been a huge part of my life over the last six years specifically. Just when I was dealing with like anxiety and like panic and things like that, I mean, there's a point in time back in 2020 where I was sitting in my bathtub and didn't want to get out because I was just like in my head so much, like thinking about so much negativity, and you know, then breath work got introduced to me, and I really, should we hold for that?
No, the okay. plan.
Yeah, breath work came into my life, and it was a huge impact, you know, like I truly noticed how much of a difference it made in grounding me and not letting my thoughts take over my mindset. Mm-hmm. So that was like the first staple in terms of like routine and how I can kind of start my day. Goal setting has been another one, you know, setting the goals and actually writing them. So then that way you have them to actually look forward to. And when you write them, I feel like that makes it truly feel like you can bring them to life instead of just saying them, you know. Everybody can say something, but the next day comes and you might already forget about it. So it's good to write things down. I think that's been a big factor for me. And then, yeah, just the simple things, man. Like the simple things that I feel like people forget about. Making your bed, you know, putting your clothes in the dirty hamper, and, you know, organization. Just keeping your life clean.
My wife's listening to this. She's like, yes, exactly. Like, Brian, listen to Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, keeping your life cleaner makes life a little bit easier just because everything's organized. And don't get me wrong, there's times and weeks that it's not that, you know, and like you go with it and, you know, you have a reset week and you kind of get back to what you were trying to do. But, yeah, that's been a huge part, just keeping everything intact, you know, but also not stressing over. Like, I feel like I used to be so caught up on like the workout aspect of everything, like, and I still am, like, don't get me wrong, but even now, like if we go to travel, say like I get maybe a 30-minute workout in the morning, that's all I have for the rest of the day. Like, I don't, you know, and like back in the day, I feel like, oh, I gotta go back. Like, I need to do this and that. And I've tried to get better and have gotten better about like, if that's what I have, that's what it is. And then enjoy the rest of the day, because there's so much more to worry about than just like constantly worrying about, you know, physique and the workout. Like, all that's gonna come as long as you prioritize it, and it's, you know, we built it up since we've been kids, so, you know, I think that's a big thing. As long as you've been consistent, you don't have to worry about it as much when you get older.
Facts, dude.
I'm big on the basics. Keep it simple, keep it clean, but elevated. And if you're like me, then check out Built Basics. They are the answer, the solution to a basic set of clothes, whether it be tees, hoodies, sweatpants, joggers, dress pants, that are simple, basic, but elevated. You can dress them up, you can wear them more casual, but they're having 20% off, and use code ELEVATED to go upgrade your wardrobe. All right, check it out. Back to the video.
You talked about mental health and like your thoughts kind of like negativity or negative thoughts kind of pile up. I mean, number one, I love that you share that, because I mean, we've talked about it too, Josh and I, and we've talked about it before, like mental health for men is not necessarily something that gets talked about. I mean, I think it's on the wave. Like, it's not like it's unspoken now, because there's a healthy amount of like men talking about mental health now.
Right.
CBUM, you know, athletes at the highest level. You got Michael Phelps. You have actors. You have business owners. People from all walks of life that talk about their mental health and struggles and overcoming. But I think it's just important to like share that as men, because oftentimes guys feel isolated and they think they're alone, and they stay there and they struggle by themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing that I'm trying to focus on with Live Elevated, with like everything that I do event wise and community wise and pathos and everything that is here, is like helping men get plugged in.
Right.
Cause when I was struggling really bad and with mental health at Coastal Carolina, I didn't really have someone who I could talk to like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but for you, so number one, respect, because like you're someone from the outside looking in, like you got it all together, like, you know, what do you mean you struggle with it? You're a great looking dude, you're athletic, you got opportunities, you're successful. So even you struggle with that. That's really
absolutely,
it's really important to talk about. And then just real quick, you don't have to like go into it, but I'm just curious, like, what is negative, what are those things, what does that stem from, you think, in your own life?
I think for me, I think it's a lot to do with like trying to perfect everything, you know? I feel like I'm always trying to, or thinking, which I need to get better at not doing so much, but because life's good, you know, it is, and it's great. But I think there's always something in the back of my mind. It's been like that since I've been a kid with sports. You always want more. And you don't, like, you know, sometimes you need to sit down and stop and just appreciate what is there and present right now. Because sometimes, like, you look back and those are the best times that you're going to have, you know? And obviously there's always going to be more. And I think that sometimes creates some panic and anxiety. Like, say if I'm not exactly where I want to be in my mind, you know, like sometimes I think like bigger, you know, and, and I want this and I want that. So I think that kind of creates me to get stressed, you know, certain days, like maybe some days go by and times just, I didn't get done what I needed to get done. I kind of get in my head about it. And the next day comes and it kind of like piles up over time. And I think that's, I guess that's been like a big part of, like, for me, is something that I stress about. But like I said, it's a fine line of, like, you know, appreciate what you have, you know, not worry about so much of the future and trying to make everything like picture perfect, you know, and just really just slowing down, like we said, just taking a moment, live, appreciate what you have already, and follow God. And, you know, I think the things that you want will come as long as you, you know, have that in the back of your mind. So
it's good, bro.
Yeah.
There's that fine line between contentment and then, like, not apathy, but, and not laziness, but it's like settling.
Right.
You know? So, like, it's really cool and it's really great to be content. Like, that is something that I want to focus on as well. Content with who I am, you know, the life I've built, you know, my business, content with everything I've been given. Like, we've been blessed, you know, we're all fortunate, right? And, but at the same time, like, not letting that make me apathetic and, like, not staying there, not settling for good enough.
Exactly.
Because I think that's what is even worse than thinking you don't have a high potential. Is like, no, I'm good enough right here.
Yeah.
And you end up settling.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And it actually kind of made me think about, like, the fine line of, like, especially for where we are right now. Like, I mean, I love everything that you've done, you know, the community that you've built, the way you portray yourself as a father figure. It's all inspirational. And I'm sure, like, for me, even, like, this goes for most people that, you know, have done those type of things. I always think about, like, what would my 6-year-old self be thinking right now? And I'm sure he'd be like, dude, you're living life, you know, like, you're killing
proud
it,
of you
know?
Yeah.
Like, you've done more than probably what we could have imagined at that age, you know? I mean, at least that's how I feel.
You're his hero, essentially.
Yeah. And I think that's the one way to look at it as well, is like, how can you make your younger self proud, and how can you think more along the lines of how that mindset would be thinking of where you're at right now?
That's good.
You know, instead of thinking about, like, your future self and thinking, like, you're not, like you said, you're
behind sometimes. Yeah,
exactly. And, yeah, that's kind of a good way that I kind of think sometimes. Like, I go back and I'm like, I don't know, for instance, when I remember I got, like, the car that I have now, and, like, you know, maybe it has issues, but I'm like, but I remember when I got that car, that was my dream car. And it's like little things, you know, it's like, just put aside the troubles and appreciate, like, how far you actually have came.
That's so good. So two things, man, because one, I have an example, which you may have heard it, and I know some of these guys have heard it, but it's like a monk's reframe on, you know, the miracle of today, the present moment. But I gotta tell a quick funny story. I'm on Team Vitality. I program workouts.
Yeah.
And then I always have a meditation at the end. I always have, like, this mindset kind of, like, message I try to give these, you know, these people, my family, my team. And I love bringing up future you and, like, younger you. And I think that's amazing. If you keep those two hand in hand, you're good. Like, if you're making, you know, younger you proud, and you're making future you, like, you're stepping up to the plate where future you is counting on you.
Right.
You're in a sweet spot. And so I'm in this meditation at the end of the workout, and I'm like, you know, think about your future, or sorry, think about your younger self. I'm like, think about your younger self, what he or she is saying about you, thinking about you, like all the obstacles you've overcome. Think about that younger you. And I had someone on team chat, which is the group chat feature. He goes, as Coach Brian was saying that, my 8-year-old son from the next room heard it, and he said, he would say you're fat. And so, and he shared that. So he's joking about it. It's like this dad, he's training to fit. And it's just funny because, like, I'm all serious about that. But he's like, right. Hey, man, like, he'd say you're fat. Like, keep getting in shape.
Yeah.
And so the guy had fun with it. I forget that's his name. Great. If you're listening or watching, man, yeah. I love it. Shout out to you. But that reminded me of that funny story. And then secondly, you've probably heard this, but, and this is really big for my life right now. Mm-hmm. I was telling Josh about a couple of things happening. I just feel like everything is happening right now.
Right.
And thank God we finished the experience. We did the 1-day event.
Yeah.
Crazy impact, crazy energy. Stacey Irvin Jr., Colin Pask.
Looks sick.
Colin Cask. It was sick, dude.
Yeah.
We had that last weekend.
Yeah.
Everything's happening all at once.
Right.
And we can chat about that. But the message that I keep coming back to is like, okay, I get really sped up. I'm like, I'm behind on this. I need to take care of this, this, and that. Oh, yeah, and 12 other things.
Right.
And, you know, the babies got sick. We're potty training the girls. So there's piss and there's stuff in the house. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
And my poor wife, like, God bless her. She's taking the brunt of it. And right. I'm trying to work and provide and do both.
Yeah.
So it's different things. But this reminder has always worked for me. It's always helped me get in the present moment. When I feel getting sped up, there's this story of a monk who, his student is saying, you know, I wish I was younger. I wish I was 20, 22, you know, and I feel like I missed so much of life. I feel behind, or, you know, I wish I had that time back. And the monk was said to say, the master was like to the student, you know, instead of waking up and you're mad or you're bummed that you're not 22 anymore, think and imagine like you're 85. And your whole life is done. Your kids are grown. No such thing as working in business. You're chilling. You're at the end of your life. And the thought experiment is somehow magically you get to wake up and live today all over again. So you woke up, your body feels like this as opposed to 85.
Yeah.
You get to, you know, you're not 22, but I'm 33. You get to watch your girls ask you to put their shoes on. You get to, like, they're saying, daddy, hold me.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy for me to be out of the present moment. But if I take that mindset, then I only get this one shot to like be present and to enjoy.
Yeah.
So that's really helped me in this season of life. Because it's crazy. But
yeah,
man, the only time we have is like right now.
It's right now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I love that, man. I really do. Because it makes you, it really does. It hits you when you think about how life precious really, really is. Because, like, you don't ever know, like, what you're guaranteed, you know? Like, whether that's tomorrow or whatever it is, you know? And I've always been personally, since I was, like, a kid, like, not kid, but more so, like, later teens, early 20s, kind of afraid of, like, death in a way, you know? Like, I don't know. It's always been in the back of my mind of, like, being afraid of dying, I guess, because it's like I feel like I haven't accomplished enough. And you know, that's made me also appreciate life more every day, though.
Yeah, memento mori.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that goes for just my wife. You know, like, I saw a couple actually the other day in LA Fitness. I was just working out and just minding my business, and in between a set saw a couple. They were probably like 80. And the guy was just standing there, and his wife came over and, like, got under his arm, and he gave her a big hug and kiss. And it just kind of hit me, because I was like, gosh, that reminds me of Kenna and me now. And here they are, you know, 60 years, 50 years older than we are, and still have that affection and love. And, you know, it was cool to see. And, you know, I think about when I'm older, I want to, you know, have that same life that we're living right now, even though we're 80 years old, you know, and appreciate it even then, because, like you said, we're only this young once. Every day it's another day getting older. So, you know, that's really really sat on me. Like, even when I drive countryside and roads now, I used to be like, oh, I never would want to live out in the country. Like, that seems boring. And now I'm like, when can I have, like, a rocking chair and just, like, just enjoy life. Yeah,
kick back
and just enjoy.
You hire a tanner to, like, keep the grounds and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I'm, like, on the rocking chair. Yeah, cut that grass.
I freaking love you, Tanner.
But, yeah, that's everything. I feel like as you get older, you learn to, appreciate more.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
Because I didn't appreciate as much as I do now when I was in my early 20s, that's for sure.
Facts, dude.
You know, so.
We just talked about this in the sauna, like, that cliche quote from The Office. I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you leave the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much easier said than done, but reminding yourself, like, this is the day, you know, these are the days. Like, this is the moment, this is the season.
Absolutely.
The mess and all, you know, embracing this moment, because this moment is life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get one shot. So it really is. And I love what you say about the couple, because, you know, all money and mm-hmm. business and career and financial, all this stuff aside.
Yeah.
That's success, man.
Yeah.
Like, you got your wife, you got a, like, love in your family, love in your life.
Absolutely.
You can't buy that at 80. You can't buy that.
You can't.
So, like, that's huge.
And that is, you know, I think there is, there's truly nothing more fulfilling than being around the people that you love. And that has really, really kind of set and hit me within the last year, kind of back to what mm-hmm. we were talking about in the sauna. Being away, living in Georgia.
Yep.
It was great. So much growth, so much, you know, time that me and Kenna got to spend and build our own life away from everybody and everything, which was amazing. But you do realize that as time goes on, the people that you love and all those things aren't going to be here forever. And you want to try to at least spend as much quality time, whether that's just even going to grab breakfast or having a phone call, whatever it is, you know, or just something super small and simple. But those are the times and moments that you'll really sit and think about in the future and be like, I'm so glad that I was able to do that. Like, even, you know, I was helping my grandpa restore his 1969 Corvette.
Yeah, so
sick. You know, and he's 80 years old. And, you know, just even the fact, of course, that's cool, but it's more so, it's even cooler that I'm getting to, like, spend that quality time one-on-one with him mm-hmm. and, like, hear his wisdom and hear how his life was and what got him to the position that he's in now. And, like, you know, you really don't, as a kid, I feel like, really appreciate those things because, mm-hmm. you know, you just don't. And now I'm, like, all for it. I'm, like, tell me more. Tell me, like, what it is, what you did. How would you say you would want to live your life, you know, now that you're 80? Like, what would you have changed? And, you know, I'm just, like, I want that wisdom. Tell me more. So I think that's been a big impact for me as well.
That's fire. I want to hear that answer too from Papa
yeah.
Miller.
Yeah.
So what role has, what role does, like, community or friends who are committed to growth and make you better, what role do those people have in your life?
Everything, you know, like yourself, huge impact for me. Just being around you allows, I'm sure, you know, hope same for you, but, like, allows the best version to come out of yourself
mm-hmm.
that, you know, sometimes I don't think you know you have, but when you're around someone that has that energetic positivity, it shines and it comes off onto you for yours to come out
mm-hmm.
and you just kind of, like, feed off of each other. And it's so good to be around people that are like that and not the opposite, where it's, like, gloomy and doom and, like, taking your energy out of you. And it's, you know, so community, being around mm-hmm. like-minded people is so important to me, like yourself, my brother Josh, like all these people that we've surrounded ourselves with. And, like, me when I do my workouts, for instance, like getting that good group of people out there that, you know, are there to get better. They're there to obviously fail and struggle. But the whole thing that I always tell people when we're in the midst of the workout is my biggest word is encouragement, because everybody's obviously going to struggle. They're always going to have some issues and some troubles, and some people aren't as good at certain things as other people are. Mm-hmm. But you never should let that affect you. Encourage them, you know, give them some words of encouragement to get mm-hmm. through that hard time. Mm-hmm. And I think community is by far one of the best things that you could possibly have in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So heck yeah, that's huge.
They talk about community. I love that answer too. I mean, I feel the same about you, no doubt. I mean, we talked about it this weekend. If you aren't surrounding yourself with people who pull the greatness out of you, you're leaving potential on the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually selfish to live isolated when you have the ability to connect with people who would challenge you to grow.
Yeah, it is.
It's selfish.
It is.
Because you're settling. And yeah. I tell people all the time, I try to tell myself, is like, to withhold the gift that God put inside of you,
mm-hmm.
and the strengths you have, the unique abilities you have, the story you have that's only yours,
yeah,
is such a disservice to the world.
Right.
To withhold that is such a disservice to the world.
Absolutely.
So if you get around people who help wake that side of you up or wake those parts of you up, like that's one of the most selfless things you can do.
It is. It's
getting in the right places, right? Getting in the right environments and stepping into that. And I think that's my message lately, and I've never been so clear on it, is it's only, like, it's unlocked from within.
Yeah.
And it's like you can have your impact, only you can have your story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, man, you got to understand that it's in you. Now the goal is to unlock it from within.
Absolutely.
That's a good point. I'm going to read something, cuz you brought up that this is what I think, like, all of us need to hear at some point in time. Have you heard the poem Marianne Williamson, Our Greatest Fear? You've heard this, right? From Coach Carter?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. I haven't read this on the podcast, I don't think. I've read it in,
I love it.
In certain other...
I wish I could just remember it off of my head.
Shout out to Andre Helmuth. He can't.
Yeah.
Andre Helmuth can't.
Yeah.
On one of the Pathos days, this dude just freaking ripped it out.
I love that.
That was better than...
That was the best part of that movie.
Okay, so close your eyes, and I want you to hear this. I invite you to close your eyes. You don't need to, but just close your eyes, and this is what your soul needs to hear. This is what our souls need to hear. It is our light... not our darkness that most frightens us. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous, strong, courageous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Love that.
That's freaking beautiful.
That's so good.
That's like, I need to read that every day.
You know, I'm kind of thinking I am, because I like it. I just love hearing that so much. It just hits every time I feel like I hear it again. But yeah, I mean, truly, I feel like what, kind of to touch up on that and what you were saying, everybody's their own superhero. Everybody has their own power. They just don't know it until... you let that out and realize also that you are different than anybody else in this entire world. Because like some people get caught up in like, oh, he's got this and
comparing.
That.
Comparing.
Yeah, comparing. And you forget that you also bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have your own power that you can provide to people and show that. And, you know, I mean, that goes for anything. I mean, like, obviously there's somebody that's faster than you and that's okay.
Faster than me?
I mean, no, never, never.
I haven't met him.
Yeah, right.
Or her.
I've never lost a race.
Not when it's to the cookies.
I'm not gonna
beat anybody.
but seriously, you know, I mean, like you do have something to offer that no one else does.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that truly people need to realize and know when they go into a crowd of people and maybe when they're feeling fearful or scared of, you know, hey, like God put you on this earth. Like you have your own traits that people may, you know, they look up to you and like about you. And, I think that's just super important to not compare yourself to others and know exactly what you have, because it's so easy to get caught up on, mm-hmm. you know, seeing somebody else and thinking that you have nothing to offer mm-hmm. when you do. That's a big thing, you know, for sure. Mm.
I have a couple of thoughts. Let me organize them in my head and listen to the breeze while we wait.
Right. Is this a Puff Bar commercial time?
Yeah, Tanner, where's the Puff Bar hanging out? Okay, no, you said something that was fire, which is everybody is their own superhero.
Yeah.
And I think the flip side of that is like, okay, you're your own superhero, but you're also your biggest villain.
True.
Right? I mean, are we not? If there's like a superhero within me,
mm-hmm.
You better freaking bet on the fact that there's a villain mm-hmm. within me
absolutely.
That's trying to take him down. And that's that double talk. We always talk about it and hear about it, whether it's athletes or business or speakers. You have the lower self and the higher self.
Mm-hmm.
You have the good wolf and the bad wolf.
Yep.
And it's like that old story. It's like, you know, grandpa's telling this little boy about the two wolves. You know, you got a good wolf and the bad wolf. You got a superhero and a villain.
Yeah.
And they're always fighting. They're always battling.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, you know, well, grandpa, who wins? And he says what? Whoever you feed the most.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so this goes back to the experience. Man, you got to see the freaking superhero within.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to talk to yourself, treat yourself, and live from that guy.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, the default mode is villain. The default mode is is the made for less self or the lower self.
You can't.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I never will.
Yep.
Who am I?
Exactly.
To do X.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's a great example, like truly. And that kind of brings me, now you got me thinking, is just about what I also talk a lot about is kind of like, you know, when you're your superhero and you see a life that you want to live. I always like to tell myself, and me and Ken talk about this all the time, and I think I've maybe even put it in a post, maybe like on a description or something, but it's the best to live the life that you want as if you're already living it.
Hmm.
Because if you do that, then every day you're living the life that you're envisioning mm-hmm. that you're trying to get closer to. Mm. It's just about switching that mindset of thinking that you already are in the position that you see yourself, and ultimately you're going to just keep continuing to grow and live the life that you ultimately, you know, think that you don't have or you're trying to chase. When you walk into that room, think that as if whatever it is that you want to be, and mm-hmm. just believe that you are that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, that villain can't come in and be like, no, that's not you.
Mm-hmm.
That superhero's taking over and telling you, like, this is who you are. Like, mm-hmm. that's, why not? You know, what's stopping you?
Yep.
You know, and I think that's such a big part of, you know, really getting closer to what your dreams are and creating them to be an actual reality.
Mm-hmm.
Living like that is huge, I feel like.
It's good, man. I love this conversation. When we think about what the world needs, I asked this at the experience, you know, given like just the world in which we live in now, what do you think the world needs from men? Like, what does the world need from men, in your opinion?
I think that it needs leadership, for one. You know, we need to lead, gotta lead, guide, and good. Obviously provide and be, kind of be that anchor, you know, like we are here for a reason. And you think about back in the day when, you know, these guys were waking up and leaving their castles and putting their life on the line, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I feel like now everything's so soft, to be honest with you, like in general, like the world has gotten soft and it's just the way it has gone. And I feel like, you know, men need to be leaders in the world, you know, and I mean, a woman obviously also too. But you know, I think we need to provide that more, and that strength and resilience of getting through hardships and mm-hmm. obstacles, and not like bottling up in a ball. Like, obviously, like, yes, that, and that's, that kind of brings us back to like having that outlet to talk with other guys, because then that allows you to not be so afraid and like, you know, be bottled up in a bottle and not allow yourself to have the strength that God gave you, you know? And I think that's huge, because for a time I felt like I was weak, you know? I'm like I said, I was in my bathtub sitting there in my thoughts, and I'm like, there's dudes that were going out to battle.
Yeah.
Come on.
Freaking.
You know what I mean?
Their, like, their buddies getting beheaded
and stuff. Yeah. Like, there was just like, yeah, times were different, you know? And I'm like, I've tried to really like use that to overcome. Like, there's so much bigger issues out there than for that to sit on me and affect how I live life and how as us as men go about our days, you know? And I think that, you know, bringing that positive light, which you do a great job at, is huge, because I feel like other young men see that and it allows them to live such as you have. And I think that's huge. You're influencing, you know, and that's, I think, the whole great reason that social media is there, is to use the platform and influence people for the better, you know? So, yeah, I think that's kind of where I sit with, like, as being a man and what we need to do in this world. As best as we can.
Super good, man. Yeah. Leadership, leading from the front.
Yeah.
Leading with love. That's all fire. I was watching Cinderella with Gianna.
Yeah.
And it's the live action one. Okay. So it's the newer one. It's a phenomenal film. Yeah. Like, actually a great movie. And
you can't go wrong with a Disney. Like,
yeah. Matter of fact, Garrett looks like the main, you know, he looks like the prince.
He's got the flow.
Yeah, great looking dude. You're better looking. You're cooler. But
I appreciate it.
But no, the movie's fantastic. And one of the mottos or taglines, if you will, you know, Cinderella's growing up. She's not the princess yet, but she's growing up in the farm. And her mother, who passes away, like the first scene or second scene, which is typical. Her motto is like, be kind and be courageous. Like, be kind and stay courageous, or something like that. Kindness and courage.
Yeah.
And I'm just like watching that thinking, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, that's it. Because, you know, you can be so courageous and so go-getter mentality. Right. Like, I'm going to succeed and I'm going to drive through the fear. But you could also be very unkind and you know, a person or a man that's not typically, or I should say, just like, I don't like the word toxic masculinity, but I'm saying you can be the stereotypical hard driver man who's just bulldozing everybody out of the way.
Right.
Because you're courageous.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you have the kindness part.
Like, typical, like, almost even jock.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just.
Yeah. 100%.
Just, yeah, yeah.
But if you have the kindness side, it's like, if you're courageous and kind, it's the best combo.
It really is.
And so I think that's, I mean, I think that's what the world needs for men, is like both. We need strength and love.
Yeah.
We need courage and kindness.
Kindness, and to your
point, yeah. To your point, leadership too. If you can bottle that up and live it out, that's the goal.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kindness. I mean, living life with kindness is just, I feel like that really is kind of the number one, to be honest.
Yeah. Because
kindness goes so far for people. Like, you could change someone's day by simply just telling them, hey, you look great today.
Yeah.
Like, they may have needed that for years.
Do you do that? Do you kind of experiment?
Yeah, I love just like, yeah, when I'm having a conversation, you know, and if someone comes up to me and says something, I love to, you know, reciprocate that back and be like, well, you look great. Like, your outfit looks amazing. You know?
You look better.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, you know? Yeah, I mean, that truly does. I feel like it's an impactful thing for a human to hear those. Because I know if I hear it, I'm like, damn, that was super sweet. You know, like, it impacts me. I feel some kind of way when someone says something positive and kind. And so I know that when I do that to someone, like I said, who knows how long has it been since someone said something kind to them, you know? And that kind of goes for, like, you know, I don't know, as far as, like, you know, you see people get flowers, they never get flowers, and it just is like the simple metaphor of like, you're cared about, you know?
I feel like you do that super well, dude. Garrett, you're always getting flowers for Kenneth. Is he not? Always.
I do like getting flowers.
He just does it for the gram. Yeah. He throws it away after they're done.
No, yeah, I actually love getting flowers.
Do
that's
you?
Like one of my, yeah.
Like, I, getting flowers for Kenna.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like she gives you flowers.
I just go out and she actually did So that's a whole thing, you know, about the guy.
Yeah.
The man, like, never gets flowers until his funeral.
Mm.
So she got me flowers, so I could obviously have some flowers. But that's a thing. Like, some guys don't get flowers until that, which is kind of sad to think about, you know? Because, like, a nice bouquet of flowers is actually pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just the thought.
I mean, Tanner's a big flower guy, but
Tanner's like, yeah, whatever.
I think more importantly, and I hear what you're saying, I think more importantly, what you agree with is the idea of, like, metaphorically giving men their flowers.
Yeah.
And we do that at the summit. I think our friend group is good about it because, you know, I'll be the first one to say, like, I can be very cheesy. You know, I can be very cheesy.
Same.
But that's okay. Like, yeah. I'd rather be cheesy and hype my boys up and, like,
absolutely,
you know, be laughed at for certain things I say than to, like, not be courageous and tell Josh how I feel about him.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I love you, bro. Like, the way you, and I can go on and on and on. We do this all the time.
Yeah.
But I'll do it right now, dude. I think it's really important. You're a freaking stud, okay? The way you show up, the way you pursue excellence, the way you create, the way you always have that kind of, like, positivity in your face. You make everyone better when you step in a room. You push me to reach that next level. It's invaluable.
I love it, man.
Right?
I appreciate it.
JB,
that.
With you. You got a great photographer's eye. That's it.
No, I'm kidding.
But truthfully, man.
At first, like, you're going silent.
JB, I got a long list.
Yeah.
No, but JB knows, like, we've been through ups and downs with life. I mean, we started this thing out in the OG studio together. You know, we've shared space where, you know, I've cried during a work day at the studio and he just gives me space. And he checks in. He's like, hey, man, I'll be here when you need me. Like, you don't got to say anything.
Right.
But you can, which I love because he helped me step into more silence and stillness and space. But his pursuit of creativity, you know, the way you show up so present in your marriage and in your family with your boy and the way you're not willing, like, you're okay with not taking credit. And you have a phenomenal creative eye. Like, I appreciate all that about you, and you make me better. And then Tanner, man, like, you just got great jokes. You're just goofy. That's it. But no, I mean, Tanner, like, same thing, dude. You're freaking, you light up every room. Like, that smile freaking changes the vibe. It changes the atmosphere. And you always come from a good place. You're authentic, and you freaking make me laugh every time I see you. And even if you didn't, you still are a phenomenal person. And, like, you got such a great soul. So I hope you hear me on that. Like, you don't got to be the funny guy, but you are. And I freaking love you, bro.
Well, Brian, you know, talk about you, man. Seriously. Talk about a person.
I'm a product of the people I surround myself with.
Hey,
so that's freaking.
I love it. I love it. No, seriously, man. I mean, you truly brighten people's day. Like, when you walk in a room, and everybody will say the same thing, you know, like, you're a light. And it's hard to find that, I feel like, in this world. And you really do present yourself with kindness. You bring joy to people's heart. You know, every time that we're together, man, it's just like, I don't know. It's hard to explain when someone doesn't have a person that brings that kind of energy into your life. And every time that we hang out, go on trips, it's like a highlight of life. Mm-hmm. Like, I look back on, because you just, you know, you bring out the best in people. And, you know, like, for me, you always bring out the best in me. I love surrounding myself around you because I know that's what's going to happen. Mm. And, yeah, man, you're just a great human being, you know?
You freaking legend.
Yeah.
Love you, bro.
Love you too, man.
Real quick, just, I wanted to ask you, thank you for that. Receive it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's important, though. Like, I wanted to do that, like, live, just because, like, it is important to give men their flowers. Give guys their flowers. Give gals their flowers.
Yeah.
Before it's, like, the time.
Absolutely.
We always think we have more time, but.
And you wish you would if you didn't, you know?
100%.
So.
Don't be too proud to give someone their flowers. I like that.
Yeah.
Are you still sober-ish? You had that beer in Ireland, at Guinness, which sounds phenomenal, but.
Yeah. Still sober, though.
Yeah.
Outside of that, one Guinness. We won't count
we
that.
We won't count it. If you're in Ireland for a Guinness, that doesn't count,
I mean,
right?
Am I wrong?
That's water over there, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
For sure.
I think that is their water.
For sure.
They don't even have water fountains. It's just a Guinness tap.
It's just freaking stout. Stout on stack.
Yeah, been sober over a year and a half now. So, yeah, been sober for over a year and a half, which has been quite phenomenal, to be honest.
What's your elevator pitch if you had 30 to 60 seconds with somebody to basically sell them on the idea of like how good sobriety is for you?
Being sober has and will allow you to tap into a different perspective of life in terms of clarity. Like, my clarity is so much more heightened when I wake up in the morning, because obviously you're not having to deal with a hangover or drinking. And obviously also drinking just has so many, you know, things that come with it, like declining testosterone, declining serotonin, like things that your body should be heightened with, you know? And I feel like for me, it's just really enhanced every aspect in the way that I look at life without having to rely on, I need this drink in my hand, or I need a sip of this tonight to get through a rough week. You know what I mean? And I get it. Like, people have that, and that's, I get it. I was there too. Like, I would drink all the time with my boys. Like, it's fun. And it really, it is. And, you know, I give my flowers to Kenna, though, because she's the first one that went sober. I didn't for 5 months, maybe. So she was sober. I wasn't for 5 months. I was still drinking, having beers, enjoying it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not drinking. I know I'm kind of off for the 30 second.
Yeah, well, it's a big building.
Yeah. I totally forgot it was a 30.
We're on the 290. Yeah.
Elevator pitch is completely. But maybe they're intrigued on what I'm saying. Yeah,
they've skipped it.
You know? What was I going to say? Good self-awareness. I had a really good. Kenna went
before you. Yeah.
Yeah, Kenna went before me. And so I guess like the quickest elevator pitch would be, once I cut alcohol and noticed how much it was a disservice to me, is when I realized how much I didn't need it. Because I truly, it wasn't benefiting me at any point anymore. Like, it was making life a little bit harder. Like, it was harder to get up. Workouts were shittier. I just wasn't enjoying it as much as I would, as I was when I was young, you know, 20s, mid-20s. And once I cut it out, I just, it was like life excelled a little bit better. And, you know, I thought about, like, longevity and, like, living longer, looking young as possible. And I know that alcohol has an effect on all those things. So Kenna, though, you know, give her the flowers, because she got me into it and she stuck with it. And she's like 2 years now without, you know, having a drink or anything. And it's been great. You know, I don't really think about it anymore. I just get an NA beer, you know, maybe just have a Olipop.
Dude, I love those things.
Yeah,
those things
are great.
I'm going to take kids
to that. Seriously.
There might be alcohol in those.
Yeah, right?
Nah, those things are fire.
But yeah, it's been good, man. I really enjoyed it. And I know that it's impacted some people as well. Like, I've had people come up to me and, you know, that see my content and me talk about the, you know, steering away from drinking and making that the lifestyle. And, you know, they've appreciated it and it's allowed them to go sober, which is cool to hear. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just living through it right now. Like, no cap on, like, if I won't ever have a drink again. I'm not like, you know, oh, never. So I'm kind of just going with the flow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
cool. We might have to fly out to Ireland and freaking make that second drink.
Yeah. And it's like, it's exception when it's like, you know, almost in a
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's out there. You feel like it's part of the culture.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like being in Italy and you go to a winery. Well, you know, same kind of concept.
It's a great story too. Like, I mean, that's pretty epic. I'm jealous of that. I know Gigi is very jealous.
Yeah,
of that.
I know. She's big, Guinness.
Big,
yeah.
Big
yeah.
time.
It was pretty epic. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. They take.
Very different.
Yeah, they take pouring their Guinness very seriously. We were up in North Ireland at a pub, like a really small pub. And the person that gave me mine, she was just telling me how you can go to different places and their Guinness tastes different and their pours are different. So I was like, you guys take this serious.
Yeah.
You know, over here, we're like, you know, you get a pour and, you know, go on about your way with your beer, you know? So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of where
they take
that.
An excellent approach to their craft, which is
they do.
One of the questions I want to ask you before we end.
Yeah.
And kind of freaking do another round of cold punch sauna. But I was going to ask you about, I was just going to say something that you just helped me think of, and it's, you know, alcohol, like, you, to your point, teach their own, you know, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. if you got it under control and it works for you, awesome. For like, sure. There's no shame.
Yeah.
Everyone's on their own journey. And exactly. so I
find out if it is for you.
Exactly.
You
know? Experiment.
Yeah.
Experiment. But I think in general too, it's like the reminder for me and anyone listening is this: become really aware at what helps you and serves you
mm-hmm.
to become your healthiest and best version.
Yep.
And become aware of what's holding you back.
Absolutely.
So that can be any habit.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be alcohol. It yep. can be the words you use. It could be a habit of sleeping in. It could be
the music anything. You listen to.
1,000%.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, is this serving my highest, healthiest, fullest self? And if it's not, like, yeah, dude, have the guts, have the courage to limit it, cut it out,
yeah.
you know? Because just by cutting out stuff that holds you back, you are so much more powerful.
Absolutely.
So much more powerful.
Yep.
So that's been a theme in my life, is like, what can I just freaking drop that's no longer serving me?
Yeah.
Because I need to. It's almost like yeah. I'm desperate for that because
yeah.
I got, stakes are higher.
Right.
You know, family, right. business, like life, as time goes on, like you have more responsibility. And so I feel that.
Absolutely.
Like I'm not 24.
Yeah. That's a good point. I love that. And I know we're about to end, but yeah,
we'll go for another couple hours. Yeah, Tanner's fine.
No, that's been a huge, huge thing. Cutting out, yeah, the unnecessary things that don't service you anymore. Like yeah. even like I just mentioned, like the music and things like that.
We could tap in on that all day long. Vibrations.
Dude. Yeah, and seriously.
Like, memory, deep subconscious, yeah. but yeah.
And like that wasn't a thing for me until like the last, you know, maybe 2-3 years,
yeah.
and I'm like completely different, like compared to what I was like. Early 20s, like
yep.
jamming and like whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, you really do notice those type of things when you think about it
mm-hmm.
and how much it is actually affecting your everyday life.
Yep.
And yeah, just making those simple positive movements towards the life you want.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Tiny little improvements. Okay, I have a best piece of advice question. But then before that, I just want to ask, what keeps you motivated to consistently pursue excellence? You know, like you're a guy who you've already accomplished so much and like you have a great life you've built, but like to our point when we first started, there's levels, like there's unlocks within you that you still have no idea exist.
Mm-hmm.
So what keeps you motivated or pulls you to keep pursuing excellence?
I think the big thing that motivates me, and I think about this a lot, is my like, not my future self, but more so future of the family, you know? I think that's a big motivator for me because I want to be the person that I know, for one, obviously, like, my wife looks up to and, mm-hmm. and you know, and as well as my kids. I think I want to be in that position where I feel that I've done everything that I possibly could have done on this earth while I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every day you're kind of chasing that. And so for me, every day I wake up, I'm like, how can I get and be and set that up for that future that I envision
mm-hmm.
and make it, you know, come true. So I think that's a big motivator for me because mm-hmm. I definitely would love, obviously, for, you know, the family just to be good and, you know, us to live life and enjoy it the way that mm-hmm. we should and the way that God put us on this earth to do. So yeah, I think that's a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my Love motivator.
That,
yeah.
It's huge. Future yeah. you, man. I'll tell you one thing, making sure that this is still on.
Yeah.
One thing is, it's just great perspective because if I knew, like, if you could see into the future,
mm-hmm.
to your point about future you, and see what your future looks like and who you need to become for them.
Right.
That gives you
yeah
all the motivation you need today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
If I could see both my girls as they are now,
mm-hmm.
with my marriage, with my life, with my business, with everything, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, I would have been way ahead.
Yeah.
I would have figured stuff out way sooner because I would have been like, yo, like,
mm-hmm.
it's this stuff matters.
Yeah.
You know, like,
right.
sleeping on your potential is real.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to like, it's not a selfish thing. It's like, you can give so much more
yeah.
when you freaking become more. when you give value to yourself, when you invest in yourself, when you become a better man or a better human, you know, more fully you.
Absolutely.
So it's not better human, but it's like more fully you. You're stepping in your potential.
Exactly.
So.
And you've done a great job of that. Seriously.
Imperfectly.
You know, but I love seeing it. Just the way you are, like I said earlier, as a father, it's really cool to see, truly, you know, because you really give off a great image to other guys like myself whenever, you know, that time is to have a family and things like that. So, you know, it's good to see.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Selfishly, I'm curious, what's like the first thing you think of if you're, because I'd like to know for my own purposes, like, so when you say that, like I'm embodying, I guess, what it means to be like a good dad. What is the thing that you look to or see that makes you say that? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I think you can see the joy that you bring to the family for just truly being present with them, like with Gigi, you know, with Gianna. Every time that I see you, it's just like the way that you hold yourself while also still having tons of other things to do, it's very admirable. Like, you know, like I love admiring the things that you do, how busy you are, but family's first for you. And the way that you provide is just truly, you know, I look at that and I'm like, you know, he does a great job, because that's hard.
Yeah,
it really is. You know, I think my life sometimes is busy, but you have kids, and I'm like, you know, I don't yet. So I'm like, you know, it's cool to see yourself and how well. And I know it's not obviously hard, and it's not easy. It's not obviously all great, but the way that you hold it together is, yeah, truly. I look at that, and I'm like, you know, wow, he does a great job at that.
Heck,
he's
yeah,
a great father.
Love that, bro.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
I'm like reverse engineering too. Like, I'm just curious what comes to mind for you, which is, that's perfect. Like, and that's how I try. That's the aim that I have each day, is to live like it's my last. Like, I said it today actually with the girls, like, again, theme of the day, a lot on my plate, a lot going on, but man, praise God. Like,
yeah,
I could not be here.
Right.
Like, you know, any problem above ground is a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah.
You're alive.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And so I literally prayed with Gianna, and I just said, like, God, help us live today like it's our last.
I love it.
You know?
That's amazing.
And it's helped me see myself and people, having kids, right? It's helped me see myself and people in a truer, more accurate light, because I understand the truth that, dude, we are all children.
We are.
We just got a little bit older, you know, got a little bit taller, a little bit more freaking shredded in Garrett's case, right? Like, we're just grown up freaking kids.
We are. That inner child.
That's it, dude.
That's what I got that tattoo of.
I freaking love that.
What is it, this side?
There it is. Burning Man, right?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, that's the reality. And so I just treat everyone like that now, too. I think that's a superpower of mine, is giving people a presence and seeing, like, I don't know, your highest self, but also like seeing the fact that, like, you're human and we're all kids, we're all in this together.
Absolutely.
And we're just living this life for the first time. We're just figuring it out.
Yeah.
Have grace for yourself.
Exactly.
You know, forgive yourself. Like,
yeah.
You know, have fun. Be present. Again, like, we got bills to pay, we got stuff to do, we got problems and fires to put out, but at the end of the day, dude, like, we are grown-up kids.
Exactly.
So don't lose that.
Exactly.
So I receive that for sure.
Yep. I love it.
All right, final question.
Yeah.
You eager to get back into the cold plunge or the sauna? Which one?
Sauna.
Garrett's not a cold guy.
I'm a sauna guy.
Yeah, heck yeah. We're right around an hour. It's perfect.
Sweet.
Okay. So, yeah, you got cold balls, you got cold nuts, blue balls over here, freaking.
I like being warm.
Yeah.
Although I like the cold for fashion.
All this, yeah, exactly. all this talk of fear, he's just like, nah, I'm too scared to do the cold.
Yeah. No, I'm jumping in. Don't you worry about that.
I'll be courageous. What is the, you know, I'm just trying to think of the best piece of advice that you've heard or you can give to the audience, like to the viewer, to the listener now, you know, whatever's made a difference in your life, whatever resonates right now in this moment, whatever you feel is the best piece of advice to live a better life.
If
feel like this is such a big question.
Yeah.
To sum it up.
With no wrong answer, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it can change from day to day.
I think for me, personally, is back to... To live and to do, I guess I'm trying to word this right. Don't be afraid, for one, don't be afraid to fail. I think that's been the biggest impact for me, because when you fail, you learn.
Mm-hmm.
And when you learn, you grow.
Mm.
And I think there's so many people out there that are so afraid to fail and not get out of their comfort zone that they never see the potential that they're fully capable of achieving.
Come on, dude.
And so for me, now, I tell myself, fail.
Mm.
Go fall down. Get back up. Do it again. Learn from it. Get better. And just keep pushing. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we all live in this big world, and so much of it that we think matters truly doesn't.
Mm.
Like, you know, if you're scared, if someone's thinking this about you, or, you know, what you say or what you do, it's all right, you know? Like, we're all human. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I would tell people, is to get out there, put yourself on the line, go do things that you're not, you know, thinking that you think you could do, and just go for it. Because truly, you will come out a better person on the other side. And I think that's the way I'm gonna keep living.
Mic drop.
Yeah,
that's freaking beautiful. Live fearlessly, live courageously.
That's it, man.
Take a chance on yourself, you won't regret it.
Mm-hmm.
Psh.
Life's bigger.
What if it all went better than expected?
You won't know unless you go try.
Let's freaking go, dude. Garrett Miller, dude, absolute legend, a brother for life.
Hey, I love you, bro.
Thanks for joining. I love you, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Yeah. It's been great.
Dude, first podcast shirtless?
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Whew.
Even if this conversation sucked, it was still worth it just from the shirt being off.
That's what I'm talking about.
But shirt off plus freaking quality time with you. And,
it was great.
You know, it's a pleasure, bro. So,
great conversation.
Garrett Miller, dude. Instagrams, YouTubes, you're creating content all the time, and you know, you provide coaching, and you have your own stuff going on. So yeah, tap into Garrett Miller, his stuff, his business, follow him for sure, and go share some love in the comment section. All right,
appreciate it. Appreciate you.
All right, peace, love, see you next time. Keep it coming.